Scott, you decided to go and speak to Lansing City Council after having these challenges with the public library in downtown Lansing. You had spoken many times before boards and entities like this, been well received. People were attentive, paid attention to you, respected your position. Tell me about your experience with the Lansing City Council.
Yeah, when we showed up at Lansing, you know, the reason we were there is, you know, it was prompted by the library's actions. And when speaking to the library, they said they were basing their policies off of ordinances that the city had. So we looked into the ordinances, found out that there were some ordinances on their books that are outright illegal based on state law. There's a state law that states local cities, counties cannot have any laws more strict than what they already have. So when we went up there, you know, we went to speak about these ordinances, where state law comes into play. And quite honestly, it was the worst experience I've had in front of a government. During the public comments, not just us speaking, but to see other, you know, citizens of the city of Lansing and the surrounding areas come out to speak, and to watch the city council, several of the members just get up and leave the chambers, the city attorney not to be present, the ones that were still sitting there were turning to each other, having their own private conversations, not listening to us and not listening to their own citizens, was very disturbing to see. And right now, I don't know if there's a member on that council that could tell what happened during that meeting.
Rob?
Yeah, it was shocking. I had had a prior conversation kind of touching on some of our issues with the city attorney on the way in that evening. I was looking forward to having him hear my official position while I spoke. He was gone pretty much the whole time that we were having our comment time. Other council members were just gone. How can they affect government, bring their policies into alignment when a citizen's bring it to their attention if they aren't hearing what we're saying? It's public comments. We sit through the entire meeting listening to them talk. They have an allotted time where they're supposed to hear us talk. How is it fair that we're kind of a captive audience waiting for our turn, and when our turn comes, some just leave and some just decide to have conversations and ignore us?
Scott, did you have any dialogue or have you had any since you went and spoke before the board?
We had some through email, through some phone calls that we were making beforehand. We followed up with some emails afterwards. And normally after we speak, we like to give the city the opportunity to do their research, to get with their legal counsel, to make sure that they address it. You know, we don't like to bring it to their attention and then keep harping on them. We know it takes time to look, and, you know, I respect the fact that they're going to want to verify the information themselves through, you know, through their attorney. My question is, I don't know how they can do that when they don't listen. And I seriously think the city council in Lansing forgot who elected them.
Do you think when you go into public and people see your weapons, and Scott, you can answer this first, do you think you're baiting folks to pay attention, to react?
Not at all. I don't do anything that I wouldn't do if I wasn't carrying. You know, for example, like when we came in studio today, it wasn't until you asked if I was carrying that you noticed the firearm. That's the way it is in everyday life. Majority of people are so wrapped up in being on their iPhones, the Blackberries, going about their daily lives, most people do not even notice that I open carry a full-size firearm. They just don't see it.
Rob, if this was such a big deal, if we really needed to do it more, why don't more people do it?
Well, we have a media, and Hollywood likes to portray firearms in such a negative light that a lot of people don't think of a firearm in a positive way. They see a gun on TV, it's carried by a bad guy. They see the news most nights, and it's a shooting from a criminal committing a murder with a firearm. And so their only daily experiences with firearms are through those media outlets. They don't see the good guys like me and Scott, like our members, openly carrying, bringing that firearm out of the dark and out of the closet, so to speak, and into the public light, seen by the public, but the good guys carrying.
All right, Scott, I've got kids, and if I put a lock on it or put it in a lock box and someone breaks into my house, what good's it going to do? I'll get clonked in the head before I can even get that weapon out.
Exactly. And, you know, that's proper training. And when I teach classes, when we teach our seminars, we emphasize that point, that if you're going to carry a firearm and you have other people living in your household, it's every bit as important that they all receive the training as well. And there's ways to train everyone, whether you're new to firearms, a seasoned veteran, children from any age can be taught to respect
firearms. 7 and 9 year olds. How am I going to teach them? You know, what about curiosity of a kid?
You know, the best way, honestly, is to teach them how to operate the firearm. Teach them, you know, it is a dangerous item. Teach them that. Make sure they understand that. Show them how to use it and take them out shooting. You will remove that curiosity. It goes away. They understand what its purpose is. There's nothing to fear with a firearm in the home. In fact, the more kids are around them and trained properly with proper guidance from a trusted adult, the less likely they are to go in and try to find that firearm, you know, when mom and dad aren't around.
One of the topics I wanted to touch on is training and how you are an instructor. Talk about the training and what people learn.
You know, the training to get a concealed pistols license or basic firearm training, it starts off in the simplest form. If they're new to firearms, you know, it starts off learning how to operate it. It's just like learning to drive a car. You need to understand what the parts are. You need to understand if you, what you do has a reaction. You know, a gun's a tool. It's a machine. For everything you do to it, it's going to do something back. So you start out in the basic form. Then you move on. You got to understand that when you are carrying a firearm, there is a greater responsibility. Right now in Michigan, there's over 250,000 people licensed to carry a concealed pistol.
Plus, wow, I didn't know that. 250,000 in this state?
Yeah, and you figure with the state right now, the last census, you know, the state of Michigan had just around 10 million people. You know, that's 1 in 40 people in the state have a license to carry a concealed pistol. You know, you start factoring out the minors in that situation, you start approaching 1 in 20, 1 in 25 adults has a license to carry a concealed pistol. So those individuals get training, and with that training becomes awareness of your surroundings.
Yeah, but aren't weapons that you and Rob may carry the ones that are being stolen and used by criminals?
You know, is there legal weapons that do get stolen? Absolutely. But it's no different than the car that gets stolen off someone's driveway and ends up in a traffic accident from a police chase. You know, there's no getting around that bad things do happen. But the good far outweighs the negative. If we went with that policy, you wouldn't see cars on the road. You would see alcohol outlawed. You know, there's very minimum, causes from the legal firearms.
All right. If folks want to know more about Michigan Open Carry, how do they get a hold of you?
You know, the best way is through our website, which is www.michiganopencarry.org. And they can also go to Facebook and search Michigan Open Carry.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.